Ball hit deep in the left center field. Wise back. Makes the catch!
What a play!
Wade Wise makes the catch! What a play by Wise! Mercy!
This is the Shoeless Goat Podcast.
Brent Brown drops the ball! He drops the ball! 3 runs will score!
You gotta be paping me! What in the hell are you doing?
Hello and welcome back to the Shoeless Goat Podcast, where Cubs, White Sox, and MLB podcast. I'm your host, Nick. I'm joined again by the mayor of Section 509, Mr. Water Finds His Level, White Sox, Patrick Gobard. Pat, how are you?
Not good. That's probably the gist of most of what this episode will be, but I'm not doing great, Nick. I think you can probably imagine why, and it has nothing to do with the pseudo COVID I've had for part of the last week. Yeah, I went in a week and a half from the White Sox being five over 500, you know, taking two against the Astros to basically the train wreck of where we are now, and it's not fun.
Is it over?
I think much like the great philosopher Yermin Mercedes once said, at this point, I think it has to. I'm going to say this. Last year, the Cardinals talked about how much Fangraphs hated them because they didn't predict they were going to win 17 in a row to barely squeak into the playoffs. So if the White Sox do that, it's not over. But barring that kind of turnaround, a run of which they have shown zero ability to actually do this season, it's over.
So if the Sox win 17 in a row, they have to fire their manager, much like the Cardinals did.
The problem is that he's not fireable.
Yeah, that's a problem in itself, but we'll certainly get into that. Yeah, Teflon Tony, indeed. All right, so obviously Cubs White Sox MLB podcast. We are back after a little hiatus. Pat was scouring the desert for any talent to replace some of his injured White Sox, and he went to a Diamondbacks game in order to do so.
We'll talk about
that in a bit. Yeah, you found it?
Well, they came up and swept the White Sox, so I think I did find it.
Oh, you definitely found the talent. They're just playing for the other team.
Yeah, who would have thought?
Elvis Andrews couldn't do it for you. But in any case, we're going to do a little abbreviated recap Cubs side of it. I think it's more of a Sox week this week. Cubs are fully entrenched in third place. They're currently 55-73, only 8 games back of the Southsiders. So we're going to keep an eye on that race as well. They went 2-3 against St. Louis, splitting a doubleheader. That's the 5 games. And then 1-2 against Milwaukee. Ian Happ, though, really showing up in that one win with 2 home runs. So that was pretty great. He also hit his 100th home run since we've last recorded. And for a switch hitter, that's pretty badass. So that's pretty much what I have on Cubs. I think we'll talk a little bit more about one more aspect of it in a little bit, as far as the recap goes. They're actually fun to watch. They're actually playing hard. Before the St. Louis series, they had won 5 series in a row, probably one of the hottest teams after the All-Star break. So in any case, I'm going to turn it over to you, Pat, if you want to give us a little Sox recap.
Before we get into that, how does it feel to have fun watching baseball?
You know, I enjoy it. I think at the beginning of the year, I predicted a 72-win team. That's kind of where I had them at. So they are 12 wins away from being there. They might even surpass my expectations. So, I guess flip side, how does it feel to not have fun watching baseball and not even come close to meeting expectations?
You know what? We're looking for the whys, is where we're at right now. Little bit of, Is this making fun of the blackout game?
Oh, but am I gone?
Oh yeah, you're gone. The screen is black, much like my heart right now.
Okay, yeah.
There we go. You're back. Unlike the White Sox, you're back. Okay. Yeah, I guess where were we? So this season it sucks. There's no other way to describe it at this point. And the last 2 weeks are actually a really good encapsulation of why that is. So getting into it. 2 weeks ago, first series against Houston, one that I was kind of fearing personally. I said, get out of that with a split, and I'm happy. And they did. They won the first two games, really close games. Yoan Moncada, two games in a row with game-winning RBIs. I was at the Tuesday game, and honestly, for a weeknight August home game, it felt like a playoff atmosphere. When Gavin Sheets came off the bench for a pinch-hit double to drive in a run, Moncada drove in the game-winning run there. It was awesome. It was Verlander versus Cease, everything you want to see in August baseball, and it felt like they were back. I know I've said that probably six different times this season, but it legitimately felt like they were back. Even the next day, they lost by a run. It was a good, well-fought game. And then the wheels fell off. They lost the finale of that game 21-6. I was getting on a plane from Austin to Phoenix and thought to myself, do I want to pay $7 for Wi-Fi to watch Tony's boys play that game? They were losing 5-1 when I got on the plane. When I got off, they had lost 21-6. So thank God I did not spend that money on that Wi-Fi. But in any event, after that series, which was a weirdly shaped split, went to Cleveland, split there again, 1-1 with Sunday's game, Cease's start, of course, getting rained out. Lost Friday's game after they held a 2-0 lead. And then Saturday, they came back and won with Johnny Cueto going 8 2/3 of shutout innings. So, you know, not a terrible first week, but just really not what you needed to do. And then we get to this week where we get the one-game interlude against Kansas City on Monday where they lose 6-4. Kopech gave up 4 earned runs without getting an out. His velocity was way down. He had been checked on by Tony and the trainer on the mound warming up before the first pitch of the game, and they lift him in, and now he's on the injured list. So that is fantastic to have him there. And then you go to Baltimore. Lost 2 games in a frustrating series there. You lost 3-5 on Tuesday. Wednesday, you won 5-3. And then Thursday, it was a 3-4 loss. Andrew Vaughn hitting leadoff led off the game with his 14th home run of the season, which is tied for the team lead, which is a whole nother issue we'll get into. But not fast forward to the ninth inning. White Sox are up. I believe it was 3-2 at that time. Adam Engel gets an easy pop out. Maybe not easy, but he was running. And for a defensive placement, it's a ball you should catch. Drops it. Liam Hendricks gives up an 0-2 home run to some Stowers guy on the Orioles. He ties the game. The Sox lose. Luckily, though, they're going home to play Arizona. What a great team to turn it around against. And they got swept in horrific fashion. Friday night, I had tickets. I sold them. That tells you all you need to know when I'm selling late August Friday night tickets. Got out of a movie and they were losing 7-1 in the third. So I made the right decision there. Lost 10-5 on Saturday after getting a 3-0 lead. Cut it back to 7-5 with a nice little Tony's boys don't quit moment until Joe Kelly came in and loaded up the bases without getting an out before he got drilled on the knee by a comebacker and came out of the game. And then 3-2 today, Sunday, tomorrow when you're listening to this, they should have won. It was 3-2. Cease gave up 2 hits, both of which were home runs. The White Sox got about 7 hits, none of which were home runs, and they lost in the ninth inning. So, yeah, started with a very promising win streak to get to 5 over against Houston. They are now 2 under. Tim Anderson is hurt. Grandal still rehabbing. Luis Robert was batting third without being able to grip the bat with his left hand, which is not, you know, good. Eloy is getting hurt running to first base continuously. Kopech is on the IL because the trainers wouldn't pull him before the game despite being hurt. And our team leader in home runs has 14. So, yeah, that's where things stand as of today.
There's a lot to unpack there, Pat.
Yes, there is.
I'm going to start with the fact that the baseballs aren't juiced anymore, and I think it has impacted the White Sox more than any other team.
You look at the talent on the roster, and they have, I think I saw somewhere, the only other teams that don't have a 15 home run hitter are Detroit and Cincinnati. Notable teams that are definitely trying to win this year.
Yeah. So it's wild because I think, was it like a year ago, the White Sox had like the most home runs in a row or something like
2020,
that?
2020, they had like 27 home runs in 7 days.
Yeah.
They have like 100 on the season right now. And we're in August.
Yeah, so I really think that. Yeah, so obviously the juice ball impact or the lack of a juice ball impacts everybody equally. But also I think the White Sox relied a little bit too much on the homer, and now that the ball is not helping them get it, it's a problem. I will say I think that the hitting coach is getting a lot of flack for his general approach of hitting. That's the thing. If you look at their stats, they hit singles a lot, and they hit singles
a lot of singles.
A lot singles, probably better than most teams in Major League Baseball. And if this was, man, if this was 1888, and we're talking, you know, White Stockings, they would be fantastic. Yeah, they'd be great. But that's not the game anymore. So I don't understand that approach. I don't get it.
Neither.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's kind of the theme of the episode is not understanding it. But I think they have a 13% chance to make the playoffs now, so they're not completely dead. But I will say, I have a question for you in general.
Okay.
We know that Tony is just going to get reassigned if he's not coaching the team next year. He'll be in some advisory role, which he should have been in the first place, or maybe some ambassador to the team. Like, it's like if the Cubs brought in Billy Williams to manage right now. Like, this is exactly how it would go. Like, during a championship window, this is exactly what would happen, right? Great guy for the team. Let's keep him, you know, doing fan signings and shit like that. But does Rick Hahn lose his job?
So if this is a normal organization, sports, business, whatever, what have you, yes. I mean, the new moves he made have blown up. His best free agent signing ever is probably Johnny Cueto on a minor league deal. I don't know if you can actually make an argument against that at this point based off of production over the life of the contract. He made no moves at the deadline outside of getting Jake Diekman and then went up there and said that he was frustrated that they couldn't make more moves despite that being his job. They had basically 5 years of first-round draft picks, not on the roster anymore, off elsewhere, not contributing really anywhere, not good picks. They have a bunch of first-base DH types. Pretty much everyone on the roster has regressed, and the only addition after that is Elvis Andrus. All of this after doing the whole talk to me after the parade thing, I mean, to me, it's obvious. He's not the only problem. Tony isn't the only problem. The players aren't the only problem. There are a lot of problems to go around, and I guess now you people are going to hear about them. But, I mean, I think it starts from the top, the way this team was built. Whatever it was, it's not working. It's not talent because we saw what they could do in 2020 and even last year to an extent, even with injuries. I don't know because it's a Jerry Reinsdorf organization and Jerry Reinsdorf organizations are weird. But when you have fans going out there with a sell the team banner, trying to get behind home plate on a Saturday night game in August for a team that was supposed to be a World Series contender, I think the GM has to lose his job for that.
Yeah. I don't think he'll get fired, unfortunately.
I don't either. He might get the Kenny Williams promotion for, I mean, even if he does, like, what's going to change? That's my other thing. Like, Kenny Williams isn't going anywhere. Well, he did say after this contract he's done, but what are they going to do? They're going to hire someone internally, like Chris Getz, to be the GM, because that is what the White Sox do, and that is why they have not won a single playoff series outside of 3 years in the 122 years they've been playing baseball. And
yeah, so I was going to bring up the Chris Getz thing, because what does he have? His Operation Birmingham or something like that? I don't even know what it's called.
Cool. Yeah, they called up all their, like, they're basically doing a developmental league in Birmingham with like 40, a bunch of like their younger prospects there to get some time, which is a good idea. I mean, I'll give him that.
The release of it is suspicious. I think Chris Getz will be the next GM if they decide to move on. But if Rick Hahn couldn't get past the ownership having the final word, then Chris Getz certainly won't. Because he was kind of what, a utility player that wasn't, you know. He's just like, he didn't really have the, you know, the star power. He was on some decent Sox teams, but I mean, it was likable, but he's beholden to the owner.
Yep.
Like, the owner is giving him all this stuff. So he's going to continue to be beholden to him. But I don't know. It's just with the Sox, I compare the rebuild to the Padres rebuild, and both of them initially have not worked yet.
That's not fair to the Padres. The Padres got to deal with the Dodgers.
Yeah, but what I'm saying is that the Padres also said, we're going to do the long rebuild, and they did. But when they've realized that the long rebuild hasn't been working so far with the talent they've brought up, they continue to go out and get guys to make it work. What the Sox are doing is saying, We did our best. These are our guys. We're going to win or lose with them. Well, guess what? If you're not going to win with them, then they got to go, or you got to bring somebody in who is going to win with them, right? Either manager, players, or whatever. You're right. The two best signings probably that Rick Hahn has were accidents. You had Johnny Cueto, who didn't, you know, who he should have signed in the offseason, so he was ready for opening day. And instead, you let him sit, and then he doesn't come in until what? Like May, right? Like mid-May. And then Elvis Andrews, luckily, shockingly, gets cut for probably not a whole lot of good reason. And the Sox get him.
Yep.
But it was a no-brainer. Like, he was basically packing his bags for Chicago the second he got cut. Because Tim Anderson got hurt. Okay, so you made two good signings. They were absolute accidents. All the other signings you've made have not been good. You should not have the job.
I mean,
that's my thoughts on it. Anyway,
they're paying Yasmani Grandal $18 million next year. Last year, I mean, it's kind of like Keuchel. They just didn't win when they had that dominant year of production. But if he's like this next year, he might not see the end of that deal. They're paying Joe Kelly $9 million, and Joe Kelly is like a 6.5 ERA. And I think they got Kendall Graveman for $9 million for a couple more years. Like, it's just and then the trades that have worked. Okay, you traded a Hall of Fame trajectory pitcher for Yoan Moncada, who is at this point a solid third baseman at best right now.
No.
Defensively, he's very good, a kind of a high OBP guy at his peak, not much power outside of the bouncy ball year. And Michael Kopech, who we don't know what he is yet because he's either been hurt or he hasn't played. Not necessarily his fault, but you don't get credit for trading a Hall of Fame pitcher for that.
Yeah. This may be a dumb Cubby take, but I'd rather have Patrick Wisdom than Yoan Moncada.
Yeah, I'm not ready to go that far, but the team hasn't, again, like, it's not all on Han because this team did look really good 2 years ago with virtually the same players, but like, the blame has to come from somewhere. And you can't like run it back with the same team. It's not like, I don't know, you know, the Cubs post-rebuild years after they won the World Series when they kept running it back with virtually the same core and the offense didn't get better. At least that core had accomplished something that was better than winning a game at home in the DS to not get swept, because that's what this team has accomplished so far. And to lose intentionally for 4 years for that, you're the GM, you're the mastermind behind all that. Like, that's completely unacceptable.
So you're the GM this offseason. Rick Hahn gets fired. They bring in the mayor. To fix things.
Pray for the
what
team.
Are you doing?
Okay. So if I mean, they can't bring everybody back. I think, from my point of view, in terms of players you can actually get value for, and I really don't want to do this, but I probably am trying to trade Eloy Jimenez in the offseason. It's not that I want to, it's just I don't think you're getting jack shit for Yoan Moncada, and his ceiling is better than the value you would get back. And you need to get something back. You need to get somebody in the outfield that can hit home runs. And while that is Eloy, if he's not healthy, I don't know what he brings to the table. So I think you got to trade either him, and that's who I would probably go with based off the value you would get and how easy it is to replace a corner outfielder with the power bat. Although this team hasn't been able to do it. You got to trade one of him, Moncada, maybe Tim Anderson. I wouldn't go that route, but I couldn't see it because that's the tough part, dude. They have the seventh highest payroll in baseball and almost everybody is under contract for next year. And like, you can't trade Yasmani Grandal or Lance Lynn or maybe Lucas Giolito. You could, but you can't, like, these guys aren't tradable with those contracts.
They're not tradable with the contracts and they're at their lowest values right now.
Yeah. That's
what I'm
tough.
Getting at when I asked you that is because the Sox are stuck.
Yeah.
So there's nothing.
Moncada's
really
getting $18 million next year.
Yeah.
25 the year after.
So how do you fix this? Or do you blow it up? Is that the better answer?
No, if they blow this up, I don't think I'd stick around for another rebuild. I don't think fans would either. That's the thing. I'm not ready to completely say most of this core cannot win together, but there has to be a significant change because you need power. I don't even know what to do with the pitching. Cause I want to say you don't need more pitching, but then Lucas Giolito has an ERA north of 5. Lance Lynn is at 5. Johnny Cueto, I don't know what he's going to be next year. Michael Kopech, I don't know what he's going to be next year, but yeah, I think you really backed me into a corner with this one. Cause I have absolutely no idea what you do with this roster, the way it's constructed. It was pretty much like, this is the hill that this team was going to die on.
So they went into the season with Vince Velasquez as their 5, right?
Yes, they did.
Okay.
Well, after Lance Lynn got hurt. After Lance Lynn got hurt, technically.
Okay, but they went into the season with Vince Velasquez as their first man up if someone went and got hurt. If any of the 5 starting pitchers got hurt, they said, we're good with Vince Velasquez.
We're great.
Utter failure. The only way this works is if they win the offseason. And in order to win the offseason, they have to make, like, a huge signing. And that's not going to happen.
They don't have the money.
White Sox won't do it. They do have the money for it.
Well, they do, but this is the highest payroll in White Sox team history, and they don't have a single guy making $20 million on this roster right now. They have a glut of contracts between 15 and 20. Also, you got to factor in, like, I don't think the rebuild took into account Jose Abreu coming back after this contract, because you have Andrew Vaughn, Gavin Sheets, Jake Berger in the minors, Yasmani Grandal when he's not catching, all these guys that need to play first or DH, and he's your best hitter at 35. So what are you going to do, let him walk? Like, you have to bring him back.
I think they let him walk. I really do.
They're going to let not only is he, like, the soul of the team, he's their best hitter this year. Yeah. 14 home runs or not, he's hitting 300. He's having one of the best seasons of his career. That is not how this team was designed. So I mean, AJ Pollock is probably going to opt into that contract, because who the hell is going to pay that guy $10 million on the open market? Probably nobody.
Yeah, nobody.
I feel like it's probably you make one trade to shake things up. Either maybe Aloy, Yoan Moncada, maybe. I don't think they trade Tim Anderson, because I think the PR hit would be too great. But I've heard Liam Hendricks floated around, because I feel like that a $14 million a year closer is like a luxury. But like, who's going to want that for the 2 years his contract is on? Because the last year is basically either they pay him or it's a buyout for the same value, if I understand the contract correctly.
I mean, the Yankees will pay him if they don't win this year, right? Like, you're going to look at the teams that really wanted to win this year and missed out, and that's where you're going to get any value for any of these guys. And they're going to say, Mets maybe, who knows?
I don't know where you go. And I think that's the most frustrating part of this.
Right. Like, I throw it back to the Bears. Like, when the Bears were really bad under Matt Nagy, like, you can very clearly see, and everybody knew how to make it better.
Mm-hmm.
And then that's why it was so frustrating. But is it even more frustrating when you don't have an answer to why they're this bad? It's just the players underperforming. And this reminds me a lot of actually 17 through 20 Cubs, because like you said, it's the same roster. Why are they not performing? And there's nothing you really do about it. So they actually did get rid of everybody who was underperforming. And those guys are, besides Rizzo, who's, you know, hitting T-balls out of a Little League park, the other two are not doing very well. So maybe it was the right move, as much as it sucked.
Yeah, I mean, but again, they had accomplished something by that point.
Right.
Which the White Sox haven't, and that's, all I will say is if the high point of the rebuild was literally not getting swept by the Astros in the ALDS, then that's case in point why I hate rebuilding, because they lost intentionally. They sold a bill of goods to the entire fan base, and they haven't won a playoff series since we were 10 years old. Or 11. Okay. Like, that's, like, cool. Like, way to go, guys. I don't know. There's not really much words left to say, just because at this point I'm saying the goose is cooked and they're done. But it sucks, because this was a fun team the last couple of years, even when they were rebuilding. Most of the score was here and it was fun to watch. I do not enjoy watching this team play baseball this year. I haven't for most of the season. And assuming they're all back, and the manager isn't fireable. So if the manager wants to come back, he's back. So
I don't know if he can deal with another year of fans. Or the media. He obviously can't handle any criticism whatsoever. Yeah. A huge problem.
The other thing I don't get either is, like you said, they're hitting singles all day. Like, they have, I think they lead the major leagues in hits, and I think they're like top five in batting average. How do they not fire the hitting coach at some point before this? Firing the hitting coach is like the emptiest of empty gestures in the middle of the season, but how do you not do something? That's another thing. I just don't, like, again, back to Rick Hahn, just looked at this whole thing, the whole season, the trade deadline, the coaching staff, the this, the that, the whatever. And just, it's like, it's fine. Like, we're just going to roll with this like that.
Well, that's the thing, right? You're right. They should have fired the hitting coach only to say, like, so you could have a hat on a pike and say, this is your fault, the players.
Yep.
Because quite frankly, it's only the really, like, if we're looking at it realistically, it is the players' fault.
Yeah.
And the players can't lose their job midseason. I mean, they'll get cut or whatever.
Well, Dallas Keuchel did. Coaches,
yeah, well, he deserved it. A lot of these guys deserve it, actually. But so you fire, Mannichino is the guy's name. Yep. And then you say, hey, guess what? This guy who you liked, who was trying to help you, doesn't have a job anymore. And it's your fault. What are you going to do about it? And see what happens.
Yeah.
You know, You can't do it with the manager. I mean, the Angels tried doing that. You know, they started playing a little bit better afterwards. They still suck, but
yeah,
I mean, work for that's the Phillies. Why a lot of Phillies worked great. They're going to be a playoff team for sure, probably like a 96% chance to make the playoffs right now. So yeah, that's that. Anyway, I think we're about done talking about that.
I'm done.
I know you're done. And soon the Sox will be done. I think I'm not happy about it. I'm struggling with it because I was so annoyed by the exact words talked to me after the parade when they hadn't won anything and hadn't proven anything. So to see Rick Hahn go down makes me feel a little good, because if you look back at his team as a whole that he's put together and the moves that he's made, there's very few winning moves whatsoever. No.
For whatever reason.
It's except for Quintana and for Eloy and Cease and
Eaton.
With that being
I
said,
guess for Giolito.
Like, yeah, Giolito. But he stinks now too. So I mean, now that now you can't put stuff on the ball anymore. I don't know if that was Giolito's thing, but it's definitely not helping.
I mean, the guy got two rebuilds, both have failed so far.
Yeah, not many people get two. So
nope.
In any case, we're gonna move on. I just want to talk one thing quickly about Franmil Reyes. He was released by the Guardians and the Cubs picked him up, got him out of the NL or the AL Central. You're welcome.
No, I was just going to jump in here and say really quickly, and I'm sorry to cut you off. I was just thinking today, the Cleveland Guardians are probably going to win the AL Central, and their second best hitter from 2021 was cut from the team and is now a Chicago Cub. And that is how much they tried to improve this offseason.
Yeah. This is a team that is literally backpedaling. And I wouldn't even say backpedaling. If the Twins made the playoffs, that's backpedaling the playoffs.
Yeah.
It's the only team in the division that cares. Let's just put it that way.
Yeah.
And guess what? Sometimes that translates to wins.
In any event, I'm totally fine to hear more about Franmil Reyes again now.
Yeah, so like he's 27. He's batting .268 for the Cubs. He's got two homers, 8 RBI, and he's slugging .465. He has earned a spot on next year's Cubs. He's fucking huge. Everybody loves him in the clubhouse already. I mean, like, he's hilarious, apparently. Like, this is why the Cubs are fun. Like, they've got guys like that. And he is in the perfect spot because he's going to be like a veteran outfielder during like the supposed end of a small rebuild, maybe a competing window, depending on who they sign. But I love it. And I just wanted to give props to them. He's not my player of the week, but I'm really excited about what he's shown in the last 2 weeks. And I really hope he is, a Cub moving forward, maybe sign him too. You could probably get him on a cheap deal too, if you wanted to extend him, because he just got cut by a mediocre division winner. But in any case, I wanted to talk also about Cubs player of the week. I'm sure Sox might not have the player of the week, but either way, Cubs player of the week is Ian Happ. Went 7-for-27 with 3 homers, 12 RBIs, and hit his 100th homer as a switch hitter. So definitely big props to him for that. And the player he's become, he's probably going to, I think he's definitely a trade candidate for next year, even though he was for this year as well. But it'll also really depend on how the Cubs are doing at the deadline. And also, if the Cubs youth kind of shows a Cleveland Guardian-like effort, they actually might be in it next year. So definitely something to look forward to. Maybe Franmil can bring some of that that energy to next year's youthful team. Do the Sox at all have a player of the week there, Pat?
Yeah, they won a game, so I got to name at least one. So I'm going with Gavin Sheets. He had a good series in Baltimore going back home to play against the Orioles, who are – it's still weird to think that they're good. But had a big series there, a bunch of hits, played pretty well, had a 3-run homer that should have really given the Sox a jolt Saturday. And even going back to that Astros series, had a huge RBI pinch hit double to bring back the second game of that series for the Sox. So – not a lot of guys are playing well, but Gavin Sheets has been hitting really damn good ever since he came back up from AAA with the help of their hitting coach down there. Who would have thought, you know, goes to AAA and hits better than when he had tips from the major league hitting coach. But yeah, that's all I really got to say about it.
Gotcha. I think this is a really morose but in a proper way to end the episode. Just a little bright side, we have a player of the week because Sox won a game. Who knows? They win all the games this week, and they'll be two out, and you'll be a happy Pat.
Once then they're back. So,
yeah, then they're back. So I'm going to end the episode with a question you haven't heard, Pat. It's not one of my favorites, but it is one you will ponder deeply, I believe. So here it is. When is the next time the White Sox will win a playoff series? Name the year.
Oh, that makes me sad to think about. I'm going to say 2024. No, 2025 to be safe. The thing is, like, who in the Central is up and coming right now?
Nobody.
The Guardians? The Twins? Not really. The Twins might try to win if Correa stays there. Detroit is, I don't know what they're going to do, but they are in bad shape. Kansas City's in bad shape. So one of these years, they're going to back into the playoffs with a division championship. And one of those years, they're going to back into a series win against like a wild card team. Does the wild card round count?
Yeah, the playoff series win.
Okay. And if that's the case, I'll go within the next 3 years. So 2025. I don't know. I just probably a little bit negative, but like I said, there's not really much divisional competition that I see. So at least that's overpoweringly better than them, especially if they have to run back this roster. Blind squirrel finds a nut twice a day. So yeah, that's my answer.
Well, that's I'll go with it too. Why not? So anyway, another tough episode for Pat, but he's been a trooper. So we thank him for that. As he shakes his head. But in any case, that concludes the episode of the Shoeless Go podcast. Just listen to us on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, wherever else. Pat, thanks so much for coming on as Cubs, White Sox, MLB podcast. Remember, everyone, despite what Wrigley Field might think, the Yadier Molina is not a Hall of Fame. Come on!